This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Propax Gold with NT Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years. With a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking about mold and mold-related illness. The book, I highly recommend it, is Break the Mold, Five Tools to Conquer Mold and Take Back Your Health. And I know we have a lot of wonky intelligent medicine, lay people out there, people in search of answers for themselves and their loved ones. And we also have a lot of health professionals who are listening, and I can't think of a better introduction to this field for both lay people and health professionals than this book, Break the Mold, Five Tools to Conquer Mold and Take Back Your Health. The author, Dr. Jill Krista, today's guest. Dr. Jill, do you have a website?
Yes, it's drcrista.com, drkrista.com.
Okay, it's spelled phonetically.
Yeah.
Okay, so... let's talk a little bit about testing. You know, say you go to an integrative physician. There is no single blood test that is, conclusive, that proves that you have mold exposure. So it's going to be a little bit of discerning patterns and using the resources that we have at our disposal. What are some of the tests that might be appropriate?
Yeah, it really is a collection of data points to try to figure out, put the picture together. And that really will depend on where and how the patient is affected. So if it's more neurological, I may start with Dr. Shoemaker's online VCS test. It's visual contrast sensitivity test. That gives me an idea of how deeply affected the nervous system is, because it's starting to affect the visual processing center of the brain and the optic nerve. So that's a great place to start if there are a lot of neurological symptoms. It gives you an idea. For some people, just that is enough.
That test, by the way, is available online from Dr. Shoemaker's website. We've interviewed Dr. Shoemaker a couple of times here on this program. And I think he charges a nominal fee for, obtaining the test. But it's $15 or something like that.
Yeah, it's very affordable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can, the test is not definitive, but it will put you in the ballpark of a potential diagnosis.
Exactly.
Then there are blood tests, there are urine tests. Describe some of those.
Sure. And the VCS, that can be positive from a Lyme diagnosis. It doesn't say just mold, but it tells you the degree of neurological impairment.
That you're messed up, basically. That you're messed up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That your nervous system and brain are really messed up. And so I like to use urine mycotoxin testing, because I found in practice that as the levels of mycotoxins go up, people's symptoms go up. As the levels go down, symptoms go down. So it's that clinically correlative.
So it's a report card.
Tracking. Yeah.
Like, how are we doing? Okay.
Yes, exactly. Now, the trick with that one is that there are different ways to do the test, so different methods between ELISA and mass spec. I have found that the mass spec method has less of the complications. ELISA has some cross-reactivity, but you know what? It's going to be different for every patient, because if the patient has some level of kidney disease, which kidneys get particularly hit with mold toxins, especially ochre toxin, then I'm going to go for the ELISA method, because then I'm seeing not so much of the problem with the proteins dumping. So
it sounds like that's where the experience and the refinement come into play, is that you're a very discerning connoisseur of tests. No simple cookbook, way that, you can take a one-day seminar and you become an expert in mold treatment. It really is an art.
Right. I wish there were. So I get asked, which test do you do? And I say, that's not the question. It's, when do I do it? You know, do I test? Because if we already know there's mold, let's save the money on the body test and do the building remediation. And then when do I test and how? You know, so the method is you match the method to the patient. But urine mycotoxins for me have been incredibly helpful. There are one distraction or possible complication is that insurance companies like to say, oh, no, 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 those mycotoxins that we're finding in the urine are because the person ate it. And that may be a true factor. You know, there are more and more studies, mostly coming out of Europe, looking at how much food contamination is there and how much are we seeing in general population. So what I do is I have my patients go on a low mold and mycotoxin diet for 3 days before they take the sample to try to reduce that possible complication or weakness of the test limitation. So there are just little things like that, you know, to take them off binders because we don't want to, we want to see what's there, those kind of things that are the art. Another thing that I like to look at is if they have insurance coverage is a natural killer cell function test. I learned this from Dr. Joseph Brewer, who's an infectious disease doctor. It is quite expensive, so you want to make sure that you're dealing with somebody with insurance coverage. But just like the VCS tells us whether they're, or the degree of neurological impairment, the NK cell function, which is different than a total, tells us the degree of immune deficiency. And that is so important for the body's ability to reestablish that microbial balance. For me, it's one of my it's one of my most common go-tos. You know, of course, I would do a CBC, and I might do a an IgAM just to see if we have, you know,
liver function.
Generalized liver function. Yeah, do we have generalized immune deficiency? Any subclass deficiencies? T or B cell deficiencies? You know, some of those things. But an NK cell function, there are very few things that are going to lower that function.
So, for advanced practitioners, you actually teach courses on this, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, because it is, it's a fine art, and I'm always making updates to that course. So, when I find new information, I'll throw out a video and put it on the course because, you know, even just recently, there was a landmark study that just changed some of the ways that we might do some testing. We're hoping to see, you know, blood antibody testing that tells us, easier, cheaper ways to do it, like a finger prick test, that kind of thing. So we'll see. But there is blood antibody testing for mycotoxins. I have found that to be very useful for people who have a lot of excretion issues that they can't actually excrete it into the urine and show you that they have a problem. Like that person we were talking about stays out of the detergent aisle. That person, then I might use the blood or the serum antibody test. The difficulty with that is it doesn't, because the IgG can stay high for up to 6 months, it doesn't tell me if my treatment is working. But it is good for indicating if we're dealing with a mold problem.
And speaking
there's
all kinds of nuances to this, and it's complicated. That's why, you know, it's a challenging and emerging field. And, you know, you seem to be on the cusp of some of the innovation here. Okay, so I learned a word from reading your book. You know, these days it's not that common. I come across a word that I don't know. I consider myself someone with a pretty good vocabulary.
But yeah, that's surprising.
There's a word emunctory in your book. What in the heck is that, and how does it relate to mold?
Yes, this is true naturopathic medicine now. So emunctories is the term for the things that help us excrete waste from the body. So it's all the stuff that we don't like to talk about, all the embarrassing stuff. So it's sweat, it's bad breath, it's urination, defecation, menstruation, and ejaculation. So it's all anything that's any fluid that's leaving our body or gas that's leaving our body, even flatulence. This is part of our emunctories. Yeah.
So we want to facilitate that in dealing with mold toxicity. How might we do that?
Absolutely, because you want all of your routes of excretion to be open and working in order to get better from any toxic illness. And it's astounding to me how many people come to me that can't sweat. That, and that's a classic MS thing, you know, get disordered by heat. Well, guess what? There are a lot of cases of atypical MS that are due to a mold exposure. A lot of people get constipated. That's a big candida overgrowth thing. But it's also, if you're constipated, you're reabsorbing those toxins after the body has packaged them up in the liver and in bile and then sent them into the gut to be pooped out. Well, if you're constipated, that binding is quite weak and it can dislodge and dissociate and come back in and up to the liver. So the liver has to reprocess that toxin multiple times, which is really hard on your organs of detoxification. Mm. Or it might have to find a different way. If you're constipated, now you have a chance that you're damaging your kidneys, because as it gets recirculated, the liver may say, I don't have time to deal with this. I've already seen you. Go back to the bloodstream and have the kidneys handle it. So it's really...
It's like a vicious cycle. It's the toxins just recirculate and recirculate and recirculate. Don't leave the body.
Yep. And then with breath, your body's natural, wise response is to underbreathe. If you're breathing poisonous air, it will just start to compress your ability to breathe. And so that's a classic asthma picture that, you know, you basically can't take in good air and you get that contraction of the airways. Well, that's your body being really smart and trying to reduce the amount of toxin load that comes in. But it's amazing how much that also impairs your ability to exhale the good stuff or the bad stuff.
Yeah.
So all of those routes of all the emunctories, I'm going to assess.
So, make sure you have proper fiber, if necessary, probiotics, herbal things that help you normalize your bowel movements. Drink a lot. You recommend that you drink a lot, that you sweat, that you do what are called depuration, if I'm using the word correctly. Therapies, like infrared sauna and exercise, just to get, mobilize that route of detoxification if you're physically capable of it. These are all important.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that the hard thing is that when you're trying to hydrate and you have a mold toxicity, mold impairs your body's ability to hold water. So you're trying, a lot of people say, I do drink, Dr. Jill, I do drink so much water, but I pee it out right away. Mm-hmm. And that's a really common finding. So staying hydrated is quite difficult. And some people have to go beyond my recommendation of just drinking spring water, because spring water has these solutes that are going to hold it. I say it takes the long track through the body instead of, you know, the minute you take a drink of water, you have to go to the bathroom. And that is a real thing. People say, oh, that can't happen. No, it does. You know, these people have to pee immediately. Mm-hmm. And then they might have to add salt to their water to add more solute. And they do feel better once we can do that to get them a little more soluted. And then there are some, you know, supplements and things like that that can help to restore the ADH, because that is, I know you had Dr. Shoemaker on to talk about this. That is one of the hormones in the pituitary that not only reduces being made from mold exposure, but the kidneys get deaf to it. So now the kidneys don't respond by holding water the way they're supposed to. So it becomes ADH resistant.
What are some of your favorite supplements? I mean, you kind of rank them in terms of each of these five steps. You know, some of the fundamental things, some of the protective things, some of the reparative things, and actually some of the supplements that literally are natural antifungals. So we can mix them up here, or we can categorize them. You're a big fan of glutathione, for example, milk thistle for detox. You recommend botanicals as opposed to antifungal medications as perhaps a gentler, more natural way of suppressing overgrowth of fungus in the body. What are some of those?
Yeah. And before supplements, we do food. You know, I'm a real stickler for making sure someone's getting 5 to 7 servings of vegetables a day and enough protein and good fat, because all the rest, that builds the foundation, and all the rest is just icing on the cake. So as far as supplements, just thinking about the toxins as a fat soluble, good fats as a supplement are critical. People become, their fat stores become overburdened with these toxins, and you can drink all the water in the world and it actually gets in and you're hydrated, but that's not going to move fat soluble toxin. Only diluting out those fats with other good fats. So DHA is one that's been shown in a lot of studies to make a difference. So a general DHA rich cod liver oil or fish oil or something like that has been really beneficial, has helped really rescue brain fog. And in some cases of mental illness aggravation after a mold exposure, because we got the brain the food that it wants. I also love the bioflavonoids quercetin and resveratrol. Both have been shown to be effective against mold toxins. And quercetin has this really cool added thing that it can protect you from mold toxin absorption into the cells. So you can pre-dose it if you know you have to go meet your insurance person to walk, you know, go through your flood or your post-hurricane house or something like that. Quercetin and milk thistle have been shown both to, if you pre-dose, it can protect the invasion of those toxins into your body and into the liver in milk thistle's case. So, of course, all the remediators in my world get lectured by me all the time. Are you taking your DHA, your quercetin, your milk thistle? You know, because I know they're going into these environments every day. The masks that they wear don't, they're not efficient against mycotoxins. They're good for spores and spore fragments, but they let mycotoxins through. So these guys are dealing with mycotoxins all the time.
Because they're invisible gases that are just...
Exactly. Yeah. They're a toxin. They're not a living thing. So those are my little, you know, early nutrient kind of things. And then, like you've said, the milk thistle and turmeric, those are both real winners when it comes to recovering from mold because they have multiple mechanisms of action. I like glutathione, but I'm careful with glutathione because a lot of people react poorly to it. But milk thistle boosts your own innate glutathione. So we can start, I will often start someone with milk thistle and see how they handle it. And then if they need more of a boost, then we add the glutathione. Whereas turmeric, that's going to be something that is anti-neuroinflammatory, so it's going to help the brain. It's good for the gut. It's good for the joints. Good for inflammation, and it helps to detox and is great for the kidneys. And again, I think that nobody's really talking about the kidneys in this story, and they get hit particularly hard.
And you like alpha-lipoic acid and coenzyme Q10 because there's a mitochondrial connection here.
Yes. Yep. And then melatonin. Melatonin, because again, melatonin is one of our best fat-soluble antioxidants. So I like liposomal melatonin, and I'll use that as a at a pretty high dose, like we use in oncology, to try to help restore the antioxidant status in the brain and the it helps with gut motility. It helps with all kinds of different things it doesn't get pressed for those kind of things.
Right.
But if brain fog is a real deal for a lot of people with mold, and so melatonin helps with restoring the antioxidant, the ox redox state in the brain.
And for fighting the yeast, the natural agents that you prefer include things like colloidal silver, thyme oil, oil of oregano, although you consider that sort of like, like a nuclear weapon, you know, weapons grade, because it's very strong.
Right.
And maybe, you have to be careful with these patients are usually hypersensitive. So, you know, I agree with you that, these patients are a little bit like, ticking time bombs. You don't want to set them off with something that's too aggressive.
Yeah, and I've done that. So, you know, you get a few years of practice where you really mess things up, and then you think, well, okay, I'm going to do that different next time. So, yeah, for the fight part, the antifungals, I have, through experience, when I used to do just the whole body stuff, or systemic, as we call it in medicine, but not address the intranasal environment, people didn't get better as quickly as they do by using both at the same time.
And you mentioned the biofilms in the nasal passages respond to xylitol, nasal sprays.
Yeah, simple. You know, you don't have to have a prescription EDTA or ozone, although they're very effective. Sometimes if you add that biofilm buster too soon, you can actually uncover critters that the body isn't quite ready to handle. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, I'm careful with
stirring up the wasp nest.
So the most gentle is holy basil. Mm-hmm. It's just lovely. It's antifungal. It's good for the adrenals. It has an affinity for the lungs, and it helps clear the mind. They say it lightens the mind. So it's a really nice one to start with when people are ready for that phase. You know, some people I have in the go through the first four steps in 2 weeks and they're ready. And so then we start with something like a holy basil and just try to get them organized with what are we going to do about our house? You know, how am I going to find another job or whatever the other aspects are to this? Because it's much bigger than just your body.
Well, yeah, let's talk about, you know, this is one of the areas in medicine where we don't just treat the patient or the patient's body, we treat their environment. So how do we get a proper diagnosis of mold? Mold sometimes is obvious. You know, you see, black stuff growing on your ceiling, after an obvious leak or after, a hurricane or something like that. That's an instance where it's very, very clear. But, what do? Do you hire like kind of a Ghostbusters detection outfit to come to your house to assess it?
I highly recommend that people do. If you know it's a mold problem, you know it's a mold problem. So you don't need to, if it is that big, obvious visual problem. Now, that doesn't mean that's the only problem in your house. So that's the other thing. It's nice to have the experts. And I'm pretty clear that I am a body expert and not a building expert. Mm-hmm. Because again, I thought I was and could help people and I got in the way. There were some situations where I was recommending ERMI and EMMA, which is a combination of ERMI with mycotoxin dust testing and, trying to manage that for people. Well-meaning, mm-hmm. Very well-meaning, yeah. But
in other words, you can't just hand people mold plates and, put them out in your house. And the testing needs to be a little more sophisticated. You need to measure VOCs, volatile organic, compounds. That requires sophisticated detection methods sometimes. And, people who are savvy and their visual inspection goes way beyond what a layperson can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, in your own visual inspection, it's there's a really great course out there done by Brian Carr. It's called Mold Masterclass, and it's all about buildings. It's about inspection and remediation, especially for the more sensitive person. So I think that's the other thing is you have to kind of look at, who are you dealing with? Are you dealing with that robust person that they got out of there? They went to a hotel for a week and they felt great. And they came home and they were sick and they went away again and felt great. So these would be the people that you can probably, they probably don't need the full assessment and, the handholding, like someone who's been impaired to the point where they have dementia or MS or chronic fatigue syndrome or irritable bowel syndrome or ulcerative colitis. We see a lot of ulceration of the gut and that kind of thing. So if we're dealing at that level, I want them to call in the experts. These are people that spend their life's work learning how to find the individual nature of a built space, just like we do for a body. And we know every individual is different. Every built space and building has its own differences too. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at things that are beyond just a mold plate and air sampling and ERMI. They're looking at partial pressures, stack effect, humidity levels. They're looking at all of that because that's what they're trained in. And I don't want to scare people. If you absolutely can't afford it, you could start with that's why I put the mycotoxin dust testing in my book, because that alone, if you are already sick from mold, and let's say they've taken the questionnaire and it says, yeah, it's probable mold, you could start with a mycotoxin dust test through real-time labs. And if you're finding mycotoxins in your dust, now you know you have a problem living in that space. What problem it doesn't answer is that a
what's
past
the source?
Problem?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that a past problem? It's been cleaned up and we're just now, there's still particulate carrying around mycotoxins, so forensic type evidence, or is there a current water issue that needs to be managed? Mm-hmm. But I loved your interview with Stephen Levy of Finding the Mold, because he kept reiterating, the moisture source is the problem. The mold is the symptom. So figuring out why is that growing in that space? And it could just be humidity and clutter.
People use a lot of, they think it's good to humidify, in the wintertime, the radiator's on. They say it's the equivalent of being in the Sahara Desert in terms of, the humidity. So they use humidifiers. That may not be the greatest idea. The other thing is people are skimping, I have a beach house and it's very moldy there. And what I do is, I leave the beach house, but I make sure that I close, I could just open the windows and cool it down that way, but I actually close it. And I use the air conditioner, in effect act as a dehumidifier. Now you have to be careful about your air conditioner because the ducts can be a source of trouble. So you have to, there are a lot of ways that can go wrong, but you generally are looking to, have a low humidity environment. And sometimes that, is a little counterintuitive.
Yeah. And it's tricky because too low of humidity can actually make you more susceptible to getting infection on those tissues. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be a little bit snotty and goopy. Yep. You know, that's they're there.
Otherwise, you become desiccated and your your mucous membranes are, the natural mechanisms by which they repel invaders are impaired. You know, simply by the dryness. Yeah. Okay.
But I think looking at every room in your built space as an individual as well is great. You know, you can go to the pet store and get those little humidistats or the hardware store and put them in every room. And then you can adjust what you need to be happening in that room for that room. So sometimes people will just put a humidistat on their furnace. Well, that doesn't tell you anything about the room in your basement in the back behind that or at the end of that hallway. Put a humidistat in there and then you can really monitor that and find out if you need to run a dehumidifier just in that room so that because it's taking the brunt of, you know, the way the airflow moves. And then maybe where you're sleeping, if it's winter time and I live in a four-season area, it gets pretty dry in January and February. So a room-based humidifier just to manage that room, that's not a bad idea. Mm-hmm. So there are little things that you can do, but people do need to stop thinking of their home as like a single unit.
Yeah.
It's not the way that it works.
Well, it's obviously, you know, it's very nuanced, and it truly is an art dealing with these types of problems. Just the beginning is simply to identify whether your problem is associated with mold exposure and mycotoxins. Your jumping off point might be one of Dr. Jill Krista's questionnaires. The questionnaires in the book, also available online at what's your website?
DrKrista.com, DrKrista.com.
Great. And I also want to ask you, during COVID-19, it's kind of hard for people to travel. Do you do online consultations or can health professionals refer their patients to you for, you know, that dimension of care and still, they'll undertake their care locally, but you may provide them with some insights into what to do on the mold front?
A couple of years ago, I decided that my mission would be to train more mold literate doctors on the planet. So okay. I have stopped taking new patients for direct patient care, and I'm doing training practitioners. And I do consultation with practitioners so that the teach you how to fish concept.
Got it.
So
your outreach because
that was the frustration that. Even before you write a book, you become known as the mold lady, you know, in the forums and whatever. And it just got to the point where I couldn't see more people, but there were so many more people who needed to be mm-hmm. seen. So I just shifted my practice to be no more new patients for direct patient care and then try to really mm-hmm. up the ante on the practitioners. But I do have a membership for the public that we're just about to launch a new forum that's sort of like a Facebook forum where people can interact a little easier.
Great.
And I do live Q&As 2 times a month where people can just pick my brain on everything. That way it's not really an appointment, but I can help a person with their particular question and lots of people can learn at the same time. So again, my mission is really to expand the reach and help a lot more people. So people can check that out on my website too.
Great. Well, you know, I must commend you. The book is fantastic. It's a great introduction to the subject of mold with a lot of details on directions to pursue. And
Thank you.
So I recommend it highly. Break the Mold, 5 Tools to Conquer Mold and Take Back Your Health with Dr. Jill Krista. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. As an Intelligent Medicine listener, you know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. But vetting your sources and tracking down the exact products you need can be a hassle. That's why I'm inviting you to browse my online supplement dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. We stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere. The very same supplements I prescribe to my patients and take myself. My specially curated professional-grade supplements are fulfilled via the FullScript network. FullScript is the safest and most convenient way to purchase my medical-grade supplements. Buying through FullScript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site, It's safe, secure, and HIPAA compliant, and offers world-class support. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to sign up for your free FullScript account. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.